Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano and Abe Hamilton. As always, we thank you for listening to AFR and to this program. We do not take you for granted most of the time.
most of the time?
Well, I'm just being honest. Sometimes we do take them for granted, but we don't want to. We don't mean to.
Right.
But it's just human nature.
We're sinners.
We're sinners.
We're sinners, like, just like everybody else.
We have faults.
Like sometimes, you know, I admit, sometimes I take my wife for granted.
Yeah, it happens.
It happens.
She takes you for granted, too, I'm sure.
A lot. A lot more than I take her for granted, I'll tell you that much.
Well, you need to see a counselor or something. I can't help you. I got my own problems.
I'm just kidding. If my baby's listening, she knows I love her. She's an awesome wife. The record
Dr. Alex McFarland will be with us in just a few moments. What'd you think about Dr. Lutzer talking about church history there during the Reformation and post Abe? You've studied some of that, haven't you?
Some of it, yes. And it was just a reminder of some of the things that I'd forgotten about. It's absolutely captivating. And when you see the great lengths that our ancestors in the Christian faith have gone through to preserve their commitment to Christ, not even like public stances, but something as personal and private as a desire to be baptized consistent with a personal profession of faith and conversion and willing to die for something like that. It just puts this modern version of Christianity in a paltry context, honestly. Yeah. And it's stirring. It's stirring. The type of commitment and conviction that was demonstrated by those who've gone before us in Christianity, it's stirring, and it's simultaneously an indictment on the modern easy believism that's become commonplace here in America.
Right.
Well, what do you think? Now, a lot of folks think Martin Luther set out to start a whole new church, if you will. But if I heard Dr. Lutzer correctly, Martin Luther, who is the father of the Reformation, never intended to be. He just wanted to correct.
You got it right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, he just wanted to correct what he recognized to be the
what were the two or three things? I know he nailed how many?
Yeah.
How many?
Oh, 95 theses.
95 theses.
He had 95.
Yeah.
That's plural for thesis. So
he
right.
didn't have to
95
stop.
Statements.
He wasn't watching television or anything like that. He had a lot of time to think, and he thought through these 95 things that he nailed to the wall of the church there in Wittenberg,
the door of the church.
Germany.
Yeah.
And that,
Germany.
By the way, was where you put public announcements
yes.
or pronouncements was on the church door.
Yeah.
That's where everybody went.
That oh, okay. was the, kind of like community the community hall. Bulletin board.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
News
okay.
Central.
Okay, but that was an unusual post.
When yes. some
people are trying to
like
sell
social media.
People are trying to sell mules and, you
talk,
know.
Talk about something going
chickens
viral.
And, oh, hey, you know, Martin Luther, he didn't sell anything. He's got something up here about the, oh, my word.
Yeah.
But what were two or three things, Ed would know this too as a student of church history, that he was most opposed to? Of course, at that time, today we refer to the Catholic Church in that way, as the Catholic Church, mm-hmm. as opposed to.
The word means universal.
Right. It That's literally what, means
okay,
universal.
Okay, universal, as opposed to, the, today we would say Catholic or Protestant or Orthodox.
Right.
But in those days, it was just the one church
right.
with the leader in Rome and the bishops and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But what was it? So he was protesting, if you will,
mm-hmm.
what he saw the church doing wrong. What were maybe two or three things that he was citing?
Well, one of the major things was the selling of indulgences, like the church placing a monetary value on forgiveness. If you pay this amount of money, then you could be forgiven. And Martin Luther was like,
"You're kidding?
Wait, no, I'm not kidding.
No, I knew that already, but I'm playing the part here.
Yeah, yeah. That was a big one. And as Dr. Lutzer talked about, Martin Luther personally struggled with his own gravity and grasping God's forgiveness and closeness to God. And when he realized that, wait, salvation is by grace through faith, it caused him to object vehemently to the church's practices of selling indulgences.
Selling Selling forgiveness for cash?
For cash.
What was the reason for that? Is that what he's talking about?
To raise money?
To raise money.
To build St. Peter's Basilica, the cathedral.
Mm-hmm. So is there a good cause? No?
I don't think you can say building a basilica and compare to damning people's soul.
Tourists go there even to this day.
A good call.
I've been there two or three times. It's a great, majestic place to see.
I know. You're just making fun of the fact that a lot of times people will say that. Well, okay, it's for a good cause. We're building a church. But now I'm cheating a little bit. I went online to get the list of the theses, 95 of them.
Okay, so Abe said one of the main ones was selling forgiveness for cash.
And it wasn't just one. It was the main body of these built upon one another. So, this says theses 41 through 47 actually criticize indulgences, 67 through 80 talked about why they were bad. He begins, though, talking about repentance. And I always found that's very interesting. He was basically bringing Christians under conviction, people who claim to be Christians, under conviction because they had not repented of their sins and didn't live a life of repentance. Mm-hmm. And so and indulgences contributed to that. Mm-hmm. So it provided false security for a person who claimed to be a Christian. Because I put money in the box, that means my soul is free, or a loved one is freed from purgatory, and it didn't. And the church was not preaching repentance and faith in Christ. So these were doctrinal challenges, not only to the practices,
but Martin Luther never intended to start anew.
He wanted to correct errors.
But it turned out it started.
They were such foundational issues,
right?
That it was kind of like a lot of Christians now who belong to denominations, Protestant and evangelical denominations, or where they're going. I just don't know if the differences I have with my church is in support of abortion, Protestant churches. They're marrying homosexuals. I'm not sure that there's enough common ground for me to stay. I think that's the kind of thing that happened as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
That's a good way to describe it. That's a good way to describe it.
So, anyway, I didn't realize we were coming up on 500 years.
Yeah.
Next October, in fact, that's when we're going to release the documentary from American Family Studios, The God Who Speaks.
Yeah.
It's going to be on the 500th anniversary of the Reformation.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Joining us now is Alex McFarland, Dr. Alex McFarland. Alex joined us. I don't know. Are you on the road or are you at home, Alex?
I'm actually at North Greenville University today, and we're getting ready in a couple of weeks for the students to come back where I teach them apologetics.
And how long have you been doing that?
Well, I've been doing that for 6 years now.
What's the number one challenge there with North Greenville University? Obviously in Greenville, South Carolina. Is that a church school?
It is. It's run by the South Carolina Baptist, and I'm just part-time faculty here. I teach just enough to support my preaching habit,
And, I got you.
But you know what? It's funny. I was talking to some students this morning, and even Christian kids, and there's 3,000 very godly young people here, but those that have come through public school, They just don't know about America. They really don't know much about our godly heritage. And by the way, today is the day that Columbus set sail with Queen Isabella's money to find the New World. And you remember Columbus wrote in his diary that he was called, quote, to bear the light of Christ to previously unknown heathen coastlands. And, we're a part of something really special here in America.
What a judgmental white supremacist.
Heathen. Yeah.
He was Spaniard. What was he?
He's Italian.
That's right. I mean, he was the Spaniard queen.
He was the queen, yes.
Yeah, I got him.
Ferdinand,
so he wasn't
Ferdinand
a white guy.
Isabella.
He was an Italian guy. Supremacist. Go ahead.
Well, I was loving listening to you guys discuss the Protestant Reformation. And, October 31, 1517, Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the door of the church there in Germany. And, you know, one of the big issues of the 95 thesis, he said, look, if the Pope has the power to empty hell and purgatory, because you could pay money and get your loved ones out of purgatory. He said, if the Pope is preaching that the highest ethic is love, but he has the power to empty purgatory, he should do it out of love, not charge money for it. And, you know, indulgences, you know, you could pay money to get loved ones out of purgatory, or you could pay for sin, or you could say, look, hey, this weekend I'm really going to go out and I'm going on a weekend bender, you know, I'm going to drink and carry on. So how much do I owe you? I'll preemptively ahead of time pay for these sins I'm going to go out and do. And Luther, you're right, he didn't aim to start a new church, although that's what happened, but it was getting back to the heart of the gospel, which is repentance from sin and turning to Christ in faith. And guys, I think we need another reformation. I think here in America, all over again, we need to discover the authority of Scripture and the power of Christ.
Talking to Dr. Alex McFarlane.
Alex, what would that look like to you? Because we have obviously Martin Luther's precedence, if you will.
Sure.
But what would that look like in an American context? Dr. Luther said that he unequivocally stated that the West has lost the gospel.
He's right. And oh my goodness, what a friend and mentor Erwin Lutzer has been. Folks, Erwin Lutzer, read his books. But I'm going to say one thing. Obviously, sinners need to be saved. And the message of the gospel is turn to Christ and be born again. Have your sins forgiven. But as far as a revival in the church, we must rediscover the authority of Scripture. And I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. I love the Lord. I love America. I love the church. I don't mean to sound doom and gloom. But when you've got major American denominations that blink and equivocate when it comes to marriage, when it comes to the deafening silence about life, and we're not fighting abortion and defending life, and we're okay with gay marriage and things like that, clearly we don't know the living word, and we don't acknowledge the written word. And it's one thing to be a backslidden church. It's another thing to be an apostate church. And in some quarters of American Christendom, that's exactly where we are. So I would say we have to rediscover the authority of God's word.
Let's talk about chapter 20 in your book.
Quick question 20.
What did I say?
Chapter.
Oh, yeah. All right, what we're about to tell you, folks, is one of the best buys you can have, best deals. Sound like I'm selling cars here, but...
But it goes right to what he's talking
about.
Yeah,
it goes right to what I'm about to... Yes, exactly. What we're about to offer you here is something that Alex dedicated couple of years of his life to, and it's one of the most successful curriculum products, books, that and DVDs that we've ever offer here at American Family Radio. And so why don't you tell us what the title of it is, the book, and what we're going to tell you is you get the book, the DVD, and the teacher's guide.
Mm-hmm. And it's all in this wonderful, it's a kit, really. It's
okay.
A Christian worldview kit for your family or your church. It's called the 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask. And
about Christianity.
Exactly. You know, questions about God, questions about Jesus,
right.
Questions about how do I defend my faith. And we designed this, folks, and I can tell you, Jeff Shambly and I, we kind of scripted the filming of it on our knees in prayer. We really did. We prayed over it. And Mom and Dad, we want to make sure that within your family, you can pass the faith solidly on to your children. And so you get a book, you get a student workbook, a study guide, you get a leader's guide. You could teach this in your church. We've heard from some churches that, like, this is their Wednesday night program. And then you get two DVDs that we filmed in the studios in front of a live audience. And this is, you know, real questions from children 5 to 12. And the good thing, guys, not only will it equip your family to pass on the faith and to equip your children to stand strong, to thrive for the gospel, mom and dad will drill down deeply and their own faith will be strengthened yeah. as they go through this.
So you get all what Alex just described, folks, for the curriculum, the DVD, the leader's guide, the 21 toughest questions your kids will ask about Christianity, and how to answer them confidently. If you want this, all what we just described for $39.99, and that is a deal when you get consider everything that you're getting, and you can use this over and over again and pass it on to others. You can order two ways. You can go to our store. That's afastore.net online and order it online. You can look at it and read about it there too. The 21 toughest questions your kids will ask about Christianity. It's at afastore.net, afastore.net. Now, if you just want to pick up the phone and you're convinced you want what we just described, you want it mailed out to you for $39.99, here's the phone number to call, 877-927-4917. 877-927-4917. Some of the questions include, are the miracles in the Bible true? Why are Christians such hypocrites? Why do most churches care about pollution and global warming and don't care about other things? Some churches. In one of your chapters, this is a very practical question. A lot of people have, young people, kids especially, Alex, which you answer. If church is boring, why do I have to go?
That's a question the kids asked me. That
was one of your top questions that you got?
Yeah, we got that. And generally from boys about 9 through 12 years old.
Yeah, they're bored with church. It's not exciting, so they don't want to go. So how do you answer that?
Well,
because I said so.
And, you know, hey, mom and dad, don't be afraid to play the I said so card because, you know, when I do my seminars, I do a seminar all over the country called Raising Godly Kids in a No Rules Culture. And I get the audience, I'll say, repeat after me, I am the parent. Say it like you mean it. I am the parent. But, you know, mom and dad, you do need to lead out spiritually. And church, for one thing, read Hebrews 10:25. Go into church, being a part of a local fellowship, is on the to-do list of the believer. There's encouragement, there's accountability, there's corporate worship. But I tell kids, I'll say, you know, there are a lot of things in life that at the moment may not seem all that enjoyable, but they're good for you, like exercising and working out, or going to school to study and earn a degree. And at the moment, you might not think going to church is that vital. But listen to this, guys. I wrote a book called Stand Strong in College, and I interviewed a couple of hundred college students. And literally dozens of times, college kids would say, look, I'm at the university. I'm the only Christian in my entire dorm. And I was under, you know, a lot of pressure. And yet the Holy Spirit would remind me of something I learned as a child in church. And, you know, 1 John 2:27 says the Spirit of God that will teach you will remind you of all things. One of the reasons it's important to go to church and, you know, bear the yoke as a child, as you might say, because years later down the road, when you need it most, the Holy Spirit will call up to remembrance something you heard. And so we encourage mom and dad, you know, don't intentionally make church boring. I think that the most exciting thing in the world is our relationship with Christ, but just help your kids understand that because you love them, you do things as a family that might not be a day at Disneyland, but it's good for us, and it's a part of the care of our soul that Christ calls us to.
And you know, Alex, as I was listening to you talk about this, in a sense, going to church is a lot like the marriage relationship. You only think you're not selfish until you get married, you know, because you are forced, not forced, but you, in a sense, you are in a relationship that at least forces you to look at your own habits and your own character, your own personality. And church kind of does the same thing. I mean, this is, I'm sure, scriptural that that God has ordained that Christians become more Christ-like in part by their interaction with other believers. I mean, that's mm-hmm. part of the way in which God shows us ourselves as we interact with people. We might not choose to be our friends. We might not choose to hang out with these people, yet here we are. They're our brothers and sisters, and we have to learn how to love them, right?
We do. And, you know, Mom and Dad, let me say this. I am not a legalist. I'm not a legalist. We're free in Christ. But I'm in a different church every weekend. I mean, like literally every weekend. And oftentimes during the worship, when we stand and we sing praise to our Savior, you know, I see kids that just stay seated and they're playing with their mobile phone during the worship. Mom and Dad, encourage your kids to you know, if you're going to be there, be there. Stand and sing. Participate in the worship. Because, by the way, I did postgraduate work in developmental psych, our attention span is something that you can cultivate. You can grow your attention span. It's a discipline. And learning how to sit still through a 30-minute sermon, focusing and intentionally singing and being part of corporate worship, these things, besides being the right thing to do for a Christian, it really is good for us. It develops our character. It gives us skills and disciplines that will come handy later on in life. And so, you know, I got to tell you, folks, being a part of a local church, I just couldn't imagine life without being a part of the church. Mm. And your kids need this. And if we're going to expect them to stay with the stuff once they grow up and leave home, we really need to cultivate that in their lives from the very youngest age.
Well, the book, the DVD is, by the way, Alex in Sessions answering all these questions. Give us the top three questions real quick, and then I want to tell people how to order. You got 21 toughest questions, but what are the top three?
I would say that the top three would be things like, when I pray, how do I know that God really hears me? If I sin, will God still love me? And is the Bible really true? Is all that stuff in the Bible okay, really, really true?
And many other questions, 18 other questions answered by Alex on the DVD in Sessions before an audience that was filmed. We filmed it here. And then the book, The Teacher's Guide. And so what else? I've forgotten. They get four things.
Leader's Guide, Student Guide. And then my book itself that yes. We interviewed over 140 families for this.
Gotcha.
And it's at afastore.net. If you go to afastore.net.
For $39.99. You can go to the afastore.net, afastore.net, and order the book and curriculum today. Get it. You will thank us once you get it and you're able
Even
to.
The parents will be Absolutely. Strengthened by this.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
If you want to pick up the phone and call and order it right now, the kit, if you will, the four-piece kit, the phone number is 877. Assembly is not required, by the way.
That's right. No assembly required.
No assembly required. It's 877-927-4917 to call and order, 877-927-4917. One time my wife and I were assembling a toy for our kids for Christmas, and the toy was in the attic, and so we assembled it, and then we couldn't get it down.
Wow.
Yeah, that isn't what I said.
Yeah, well, God, verbal reformation, huh?
Yeah, it wasn't profanity, but it was.
But you had profanity in your heart.
It was. I had a bad. Yes, I had to repent. Anyway, folks, have a great day. Keep listening to American Family Radio.
Thanks, Alex.
God thanks, bless Alex. You. My thanks to Abe and Ed. We'll see you back here tomorrow, folks. Have a great day.